Today we're building a jungle call and response riff in Ableton Live 12 with modern punch and vintage soul. This is an intermediate sampling workflow, so we're going to move fast, but I'll keep every step clear and practical. The goal here is not just to make a loop that sounds cool. The goal is to make a riff that actually works in a drum and bass drop. That means it has to groove with the break, leave space for the sub, and still give the track a memorable identity. A good jungle hook does two things at once. It moves with a rhythm section, and it gives the listener something they can remember after one pass. First, let's choose the right source sample. Don't just grab something that sounds nice. Grab something with character. That could be a vocal phrase, a Rhodes stab, a horn hit, a guitar lick, or a chopped bit of old soul. In jungle and D&B, the sample doesn't need to be long. It needs to be rhythmically useful and emotionally strong. Drag the sample into an audio track, open clip view, and turn warp on. If it's a full phrase, try Complex Pro. If it's a sharper chop or something more percussive, Beats Mode can work really well. Set your warp marker so the sample feels stable at your project tempo, and for the style, aim somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That's that classic jungle and roller energy. Now listen carefully. If the sample feels too polished or too clean, don't fight it too hard. A little imperfection is part of the vibe. In fact, sometimes reducing the warp correction just a touch can help the soul survive the edit. That slightly ragged feel is part of what makes jungle feel alive. Next, we're going to turn that sample into playable pieces. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. This is one of the best moves for sampling bass jungle, because now you can trigger slices like instruments instead of just playing back a loop. Slice by transient if the source has clear hits and phrase changes. Slice by 1/8 or 1/16. If you want more uniform rhythmic control. Inside the drum rack, focus on just a few slices at first. You do not need 10 options. You need 2 or 3 great ones. Pick one slice for the call, one slice for the response, and maybe a tiny pickup or tail as an extra accent. If the slices overlap too much, shorten the pad envelopes or use choke groups so they cut each other off cleanly. That keeps the chops crisp instead of smeared. Now let's build the call phrase. Think of the call as the part that grabs attention. It should be open, memorable, and rhythmic. Program it in MIDI with some space around it. A strong jungle hook is often more about placement than complexity. Try placing the first call on beat 1, then another chop on the end of 2. Leave a gap before the next phrase. That little pocket matters. Jungle and D&B thrive on tension and release, and if you put a sound on every beat, you take away the breathing room that makes the break feel alive. Use the MIDI editor at 1/16 grid, and don't be afraid to nudge a few notes slightly late if the phrase feels too rigid. I'm talking tiny moogs here, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. That kind of micro-timing can make a phrase feel played instead of programmed. Also, vary the velocity a bit, maybe between 75 and 115, so the chops have some human contour. If you want to make the call brighter, try transposing it up a few semitones, maybe +3. If you want it darker and heavier, go down 2 to 5 semitones. A vocal sample usually likes a gentler touch, while a stab or horn can often take more aggressive pitching. Now comes the most important part, the response. The response should not just repeat the call. It should answer it. That's the whole point of call and response. This contrast is what makes the riff feel like a conversation instead of a loop. Duplicate the sample track or duplicate the slice pattern, then change the response so it feels clearly different. A good starting point is to pitch it down 2 to 4 semitones, then shape it darker with EQ8. Roll off some top end above 8 to 10 kHz if it's too bright, and if it needs more bite, add saturator with soft clip on and around 2 to 5 dB of drive. Then tighten the tail with volume automation or auto filter. The response should usually feel lower, shorter, and a little dirtier than the call. That contrast gives the groove more depth. It also leaves more room for the drums to hit. In darker D&B, a grounded response often feels heavier than a bigger one. Now let's put the drums under it. Keep this foundation tight and disciplined. Use a chopped break, but support it with a solid kick and snare backbone. Snare on 2 and 4 is still your anchor, and the break can provide ghost notes and motion around that anchor. In drum rack, you can use simpler in slice mode or keep the break in a drum rack for more direct editing. Then on the drum bus, add glue compressor with just a little gain reduction, maybe 1 to 2 dB, and use drum bus lightly if you want more punch. You want the drums to feel solid, but not squashed. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They let the sample and the drums compete in the same frequency space. If your sample is clouding the snare or the break, carve out some low mids with EQ8, especially around 200 to 500 Hz. And if there's too much low-end weight in the sample, high-pass it carefully, usually somewhere between 80 and 150 Hz depending on the source. A good mindset here is to treat the riff like part of the rhythm section, not like a lead instrument floating on top. If it's fighting the snare, simplify it. If it's stepping on the break accents, leave more space. A strong jungle hook usually has one obvious rhythmic signature. Don't try to make it do three clever things at once. Now let's add low-end support. You can use operator for a clean sign sub, or wavitable if you want a wider restyle support. The key is to keep the low-end simple and controlled. Mono only for the sub. No unnecessary width down there. Try letting the sub hit mainly on the response, not on every call. That creates a nice answer and impact structure. It also keeps the track from getting too busy. In a dark DNB context, restraint often creates more pressure than constant bass movement. If you do use a res layer, keep it subtle and filtered so it supports the riff without smearing it. A little chorus, a little unison, fine. But don't let it blur the attack of the chops. You want support, not a low-end fog machine. Now let's bring in some movement. This is where the riff starts to feel like a real production instead of a loop. Use auto filter for tone changes, echo or simple delay for little throws, and a return reverb for controlled space. You can automate the cutoff slightly upward on the last hit of bar 2 to open the response. You can throw a tiny bit of delay on just one chop. You can increase reverb send briefly on a single word or stab, then pull it back right away. These tiny changes matter a lot. In jungle and DNB, small modulations often feel more alive than big obvious sweeps. If you want a more underground character, try resampling the whole two-bar loop to audio, then chopping that print again. That can add a bit of glue and grit, especially if you've already got saturation and delay in the chain. Here's a really good intermediate move. Print the processed loop, then rechop one tiny section and use it as a fill or pickup. That gives the riff a more finished, record-like feel. It also lets you create little moments of surprise without changing the whole pattern. Now think about arrangement, because a loop is not yet a track section. A real DNB drop needs movement over time. A simple structure could be two bars of intro drums or filtered tees, then four bars of full call and response, then two bars where only the response remains, then a drum fill or turnaround, then a repeat with variation. For a DJ-friendly feel, you can keep the first drop straightforward, then make the second eight bars slightly different. Maybe remove the call for one bar and let the drums and sub carry it. Maybe reverse the last chop before the phrase repeats. Maybe shift the response slightly earlier every four bars if you want subtle evolution. These are small moves, but they keep the listener locked in. And here's an especially good trick. Make the call dry or slightly delayed, but keep the response dry and immediate. That contrast can make the response feel even more powerful. Or duplicate the response, pitch one layer down an octave, and filter it heavily so it adds weight without becoming a second melody. That's a nice modern touch. As you work, keep checking the riff in context. First against the kick alone, then against kick and snare, then against the full break. If it only works in one of those situations, it's probably relying on masking instead of good design. You want the riff to survive the whole pocket. Also, use utility to check mono. If the hook falls apart in mono, the width is probably hiding imbalance instead of creating real depth. Keep the first attack centered, and if you want width, give it to the tail or the effects layer, not the main hit. Let's do a quick recap of the mindset. Start with a soulful sample that has character. Slice it into a few playable parts. Make the call clear and memorable. Make the response darker, shorter, or dirtier so it truly answers. Lock it to a disciplined drum and sub pocket. Then add just enough automation and resampling to make it feel alive. If you want to practice this properly, spend 10 to 20 minutes building a two-bar loop from one sample. One version can be clean, punchy, and restrained. Another version can be dirtier, more resampled, and slightly more chaotic. Compare them in mono and stereo. You'll learn very quickly which one feels more drop-ready, and which one feels more performance-ready. The big lesson here is simple. In jungle and modern DNB, space and contrast are everything. That's what makes sampling feel powerful. Not just the source, but the way you frame it against the drums, the bass, and the silence around it. All right, load up a soulful sample, slice it, and start the conversation. Make the call speak, make the response hit, and let the break breathe.